Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 18 through verse 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The theme of Ephesians is the amazing grace of God, the lifestyle that grace activates. The book basically can be divided into two parts. A miracle of grace, chapters 1 through 3, and the life that follows, chapters 4 through 6. And this is pretty much the manner of Paul in most of his letters. He states the theological and then the practical that proceeds from it. In chapters 1 through 3, focused upon are the blessings of salvation, how it all came about. We see that in chapter 2, the blessings pretty much mentioned in chapter 1, and then how it all came about in chapter 2. And then in verses 14 through 21 of chapter 3, he closes in a prayer that these saved individuals might live, that they might grow in grace. And then, of course, that leads into the practical portion of the letter, chapters 4 through 6. And notice in chapter 4 and verse 1, again, he's beginning the practical section, and he says, therefore, that is looking back to what has previously been said, walk worthy, that is, becoming and suitable in a manner that would be fitting to being saved, of the vocation or the calling wherewith, by means of which ye are called. So Paul is saying, considering what God has done for you, and considering the state, your state and condition as a saved individual, he is saying, I make earnest request of you that you behave, that you act, that you conduct and carry yourselves in a way that is in harmony with your calling, with your salvation. So he's calling upon them to live a life that corresponds to the miracle of salvation. So our text there in Ephesians chapter 6 is part of this practical aspect of the book. It's part of the life that we are to be living. And we see from our text, we see that we are to be, the life that we're to be living is a life of praying. There in verse 18, praying always. And this is in light of the fact that we are warriors in a spiritual warfare. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening, prayer warriors. First of all, we want to consider the context and the setting of the verses that we read for our text. The context begins with verse 10, which really begins the closing summary of the book. He says, finally, which is just another way of saying in summary, or furthermore. He says, finally, my brethren. And then beginning with verse 10, leading into our text, the thought there is a warfare. So the setting of our text is a warfare. Concerning this warfare, Paul mentions several things. He mentions a necessity that is required of all who are engaged in this warfare. We see it in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be, that's present tense, continual, speaks of a state that we are to be continually in. Be strong. Be strong. Then he speaks, so there's no misunderstanding. He speaks concerning the quality of this strength. He says, be strong in the Lord. So it's spiritual strength. He's not talking about physical. He's talking about spiritual strength in the Lord. He also goes on to speak of the source of this strength. If we're to be something, it's certainly good to know the source where we can be. So he gives us the source in the power. Be strong in the Lord. In the power, that's force. In the force of his might, that's ability. Power is force. Might is ability. So be strong. How do we get that strength? It's by his force, his ability. So the strength needed is the result of the active force of the Lord himself upon an individual. A part of this necessity of being strong is to put on particular armor. He mentions that in verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He mentions again verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. The words, be strong, put on the whole armor of God, take unto you the whole armor of God. All of that is a call to be prepared. We're in a war. We have to be prepared. The only way you can be prepared is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The only way you can be prepared is to take on this armor. And notice it's be strong before put on the armor. We have to be strong, and then we put on the armor. The armor doesn't make us strong. The armor serves as protection and offense. And then notice the duty of the warfare. The God-provided strength, the God-provided armor, enables the child of God to fulfill two duties. Notice in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able. Okay, he's going to give us a duty now, that you may be able. In other words, the strength in the Lord is our enabling power to stand against the wiles of the devil. So one of our duties is to stand, which is a position of alertness, a position of readiness, a position of firmness. We're to stand against. Now, against, of course, implies opposition. It's to be in a direction. If you're standing against something, it means that you are in a direction opposite to the motion. And the motion here, of course, is the wiles of the devil. So we are to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the schemes, the maneuvers of the devil. So that tells us something about our enemy. He does have tricks. He does have schemes. He does have maneuvers. He moves. And we are to be in a position opposite to the motion. And what is that position? It's to be strong. To be strong so that we can stand against. And then, notice verse 13, we're to take unto us the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. To withstand. So we're to stand, and we're to withstand. To withstand is to resist. The implication is there's going to be an onslaught from the enemy. And that is, I believe, is what the evil day is referring to. In the evil day and having done all to stand. Well, what is doing all to stand? Well, it's to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and to put on the whole armor of God. That's to do all in order to withstand, in order to stand. So He gives us the duty of the warfare, calls us to be prepared. Then He gives us the character of this warfare, and He does this because this is different than any other warfare. In verse 12, He says, "For we wrestle." For we wrestle. That's present tense. So this is a continual warfare. There's no end to it in this life. There's no peace treaties. There's no agreements. For we wrestle. To wrestle is individual. So it's an individual warfare. To wrestle also is a close encounter. You don't wrestle from a distance. It's a close encounter. So we're beginning to learn something about the warfare. It's a wrestling. It's continuous. It's individual. No one else can wrestle for us. And it's a close encounter. Then we see the nature of the warfare. From verse 12 again, we see it first of all from the negative. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is fragile. Flesh and blood is weak. That's not what we're wrestling against. The warfare that we are engaged in is something that is superior to flesh and blood. It is something that excels flesh and blood. All that God's people would learn this truth, that our war is not against flesh and blood. If you're fighting against flesh and blood, you're fighting the wrong enemy. You're not a very good warrior if you don't even know which enemy you're fighting. So this is something that we must get hold of. We are in a warfare against something far superior to flesh and blood. Something that excels flesh and blood. You can't just determine, well, I'm just going to try harder. Do you realize the enemy we're against is superior to flesh and blood? You can just try harder against flesh and blood, but that's not our enemy. This is something far superior to flesh and blood. He then describes the nature of the warfare from the positive. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's the negative, but against principalities, which speaks of the rank and rule of demons. Our warfare is against demons, the forces of hell. This again speaks of the rank and rule of demons, against principalities, powers. That speaks of the authority of demons. He talks about the rulers of the darkness of this world. That speaks of their control over a world in revolt against God. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we wrestle against. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That speaks of an organized army of demons. An organized army of demons in the heavenlies. That is who we wrestle against. So it is a spiritual war. It's not a physical. We're not fighting against the physical. It is a spiritual war against the forces of evil. Now this is followed in verse 13 with another call to put on the God-provided armor. If we're fighting a spiritual enemy, then we need also a spiritual armor in order to withstand, which again is a position of resistance. That is our responsibility in the warfare. Now let's look at the main activity of this warfare. Leading into our text, in verses 14 through 17, this armor that God provides is described. It is described piece by piece. It consists of a spiritual girdle, referred to as truth. Truth. Have to have truth. It is also another piece of this armor is a breastplate. A breastplate made of righteousness. Another piece of this armor is the shoes, which is referred to as the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's also a shield, which is referred to as faith. There's also a helmet called salvation. And in addition to that, there's a sword. So he mentions each piece of the armor. But then he goes into verse 18, praying. Mentions all these pieces of armor. And then he says, praying. This is not a piece of the armor. You say, well, how do you know it's not a piece of the armor? Because this is a verb. This isn't a noun. So it's not a piece of the armor. This is a verb. So he mentions all the armor, and then he says, praying. So this is something more than the armor. It is a verb. It is present tense. It's continuous. Praying. Praying, though it's not a piece of the armor, it is woven into the armor. It is an essential part of each piece of the armor. So if you read verses 14 through 17, and then flowing into verse 18, praying always, here's what you have. Having your loins girt about with truth, praying always. Praying always. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, praying always. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, praying always. Taking the shield of faith, praying always. Take the helmet of salvation, praying always. The sword of the Spirit, praying always. So you get the idea. Though it's not mentioned as a piece of the armor is not complete without this praying. It's not complete. This is an essential part of the warfare. As warriors of this warfare, oh, how we need to be praying. We're to put on each piece, and we're to be praying. The truth is, we're not much of a warrior if we're not praying. That's the truth. You can have on all the armor, but if you're not praying, you're not much of a warrior. Now notice in verse 18, we want to notice six truths regarding praying. And again, we need to view this in light of the warfare. We are in a warfare. Certainly no one here has to be convinced that we are in a warfare. If you have to be convinced of that, you've already lost. But no one here has to be convinced that we are in a warfare. we need to be praying. The more we realize the warfare that we're in, the more we pray. God's people ought to be praying more and more now than they ever have. We ought to be compelled to pray more than we ever have. So I want to notice six things concerning this praying. Notice the first two words. Praying always. That speaks of the importance. If you're to do something always, that's pretty important. That's pretty significant. Praying always. We are to stand. We are to withstand. We are to wrestle. And we are to do so praying always. Praying always. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 1, men ought always to pray. Now that little word ought implies duty. It implies responsibility. It implies obligation. Men ought always. So this is a duty, a responsibility, an obligation that we always have. Men ought to always pray. So as warriors in this warfare, we're to be praying is the duty. Praying is our duty. It is our responsibility. It is our obligation. Doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter what other responsibilities you have. It doesn't matter what your circumstances might be. It is our duty, it is our responsibility, it is our obligation to be praying always. It is the duty of every husband, of every father, of every man, of every wife, of every mother, of every woman, of every child to be praying. Always, male or female, young or old, it is our duty to be praying always. We may get to a state physically where we cannot do what we once were able to do. And a lot of people get there and they make comments, well, the Lord has done with me. How foolish. Can you pray? Can you pray? Praying always. Let me tell you, that's more important than anything you've done physically. Praying always. So, the word always stresses the importance of prayer. This is taught throughout the Word of God that we're to continue in prayer. We're to pray without ceasing. It's not to be our it's not our duty to occasionally pray. Praying always. And again, this is in light of the fact that we are in a warfare. And it's a warfare not against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual warfare that requires spiritual strength. Praying always. May I say, you must be strong in the Lord in order to pray always. And you draw strength from praying always. Those who do not pray, do not kid yourself. You're not strong. You're not spiritually mature. You're not a good warrior. We're to put on this armor praying always. Secondly, notice this prayer. Praying is comprehensive. Praying always, then notice what it says, with all, concentrate on the word all, that's a very comprehensive word, with all prayer and supplication. What does all prayer mean? Well, it means all kinds. Praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication. Well, how many kinds of prayer are there? Well, there's quite a few. There's public praying. Praying always. There's private praying. And may I say, one is not fit to pray in public unless they pray in private. Praying always. There's family prayers. Praying always. There's when the saints of God band together. So there's all kinds of praying. Praying always with all prayer. Whether it be prayer for our own personal needs, for God to bless us personally, or whether it be praying for others. Praying always with all prayer. Whether it be planned praying or spontaneous praying. All prayer. This is very comprehensive. It covers all forms of praying. Whether it be prayers of thanksgiving and praise, or prayers of confession. Praying always. Whether it be kneeling, standing, or lying down. Praying always. So we see the importance of prayer. We see that it's very comprehensive. Thirdly, notice the spirit of prayer and supplication. Supplication. The word supplication means to humbly entreat or beg. It means to petition with eagerness and submission. That speaks of the spirit in which we are to always be praying. Supplication really is a pouring out of the soul unto God. It implies a sense of urgency. It implies passion and concern. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, speaking of the Spirit. You do not find encouragement in the Word of God to pray with feeble desires or listless effort. It's to be supplication. It is to be humbly begging the Lord. Fourthly, we see the inward spirit of prayer. Remember, we're to be strong in the power of His might. Well, we have that here in prayer also, in the Spirit. That's the inward principle of prayer. It's the power of prayer. The warfare is not against flesh and blood. And flesh and blood praying will not do. The warfare is spiritual. And that's the kind of praying that we must have. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. So, again, notice verse 18. Praying always, that is at all times, on every occasion, in every season, with all prayer, with all manner of praying, in supplication, that is pleading with earnestness and submission. And all of this is to be in the Spirit. That is, it's to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. It's not to be memorized praying, rote praying. It's to be praying that is produced by the Holy Spirit. That's the force of this praying. So this praying that he's talking about is not something that we can work up in our own hearts. It's got to be in the Spirit. It's not something, it's not mere words. It's in spirit. The truth is, sometimes it can't be put into words. Sometimes it can only be groaned. Romans chapter 8. It's the work of the Holy Spirit within us, which goes back to being strong. We're only strong as the Holy Spirit works in us. And as the Holy Spirit works in us, guess what we're going to do? Pray. Praying always. It is the Spirit of God that reveals our needs. So the Spirit of God reveals our needs. The Spirit of God leads us to pray. We need to know what to pray for. Romans 8 again, the Spirit teacheth us how to pray. What to pray for. So this praying has to be in the Spirit. Many times we pray for the wrong things. We pray for things that really are detrimental to us. And then we'll say, well, the Lord isn't answering my prayer. Well, maybe we ought to be thankful that He isn't. It is the Spirit of God that reveals the will of God in our lives. And then we can pray according to His will. It is the Spirit of God that empowers us to pray. So it's the Holy Spirit that makes prayer what it ought to be. That's why the apostles asked Christ, Lord, teach us to pray. And that request followed Jesus praying. So they heard Jesus pray. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jesus praying? And they heard Jesus praying. And hearing Jesus pray, they thought to themselves, we don't even pray. Lord, would you teach us to pray? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us to pray. It is by the aid and direction of the Holy Spirit that keeps our prayers from being mere words and mechanical. It is by the aid and direction of the Holy Spirit that we give God His proper place. And we really can't pray until we've done that. And we take our place as a subject before God, willing to lay aside our own will and our own plans for whatever is acceptable to the Lord. It's by the aid and direction of the Holy Spirit that we come to God in a humble manner. And we bow before Him. It is by the aid and direction of the Holy Spirit that we pray with faith, believing that God is able. It is by the aid and direction of the Holy Spirit that prayers that we rise above mere formality, words without heart. You see, praying in the Spirit causes prayer to be fervent, causes it to be effectual also. Fifthly, we see the prayer is difficult. Notice, prayer and supplication in spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. We're to be watchful. We're to be alert. We're to be watchful and alert for opportunities to be praying. We're to be watchful and alert of the spirit of prayer. We're to be watchful and alert against all of those things that would hinder us from praying. We all know by experience, you start to pray, there's all kinds of hindrances. Be watchful and alert against those things. You go into your prayer closet and you put your cell phone in your pocket. You're not watching and alert against hindrances. You're bringing a hindrance in. Praying always with all perseverance requires spiritual stamina. Perseverance is stamina. Prayer requires stamina. Not physical. Spiritual. Spiritual stamina. And then sixthly, we see the importance of praying for one another. And supplication, again, remember what that is? To humbly entreat, to beg for all saints. We're to make supplications for ourselves, but we're to beg God on behalf of others. Again, all of this is in the light of a warfare. All saints of God are in this warfare. Not all are fighting it. Some have become victims of it. But all are in the warfare. And every child of God has an enemy that seeks to destroy them. In light of this warfare, oh, how God's people ought to be begging God on behalf of others. Begging the Lord to help others. And dwelling within us as a sinful flesh. And dwelling in every child of God is a sinful flesh that is in rebellion against God. And that will destroy them. And oh, how we need to humbly beg God, not just for ourselves, but for others. Begging God to help them. And the more we realize the seriousness of the warfare, the more we can pray. You and I individually may have a bad day. We may have a bad day spiritually. And when we do, we need to pray concerning ourselves. But we need to also remember, I'm not the only one having a bad day. I'm not the only one struggling against sin. I'm not the only one struggling with temptation. And we begin to pray for others. But oh, so many times people think that they're the only one. That's never the case. Never is that the case. So we're to praying always for all saints. So in light of the warfare that we're in, can we even begin to measure the importance of praying? You can't even calculate the importance, how important it is to be praying always. And then Paul, in closing, in light of the warfare, again, all of this is in light of the warfare. The setting of the verses is the warfare. He mentions another form of praying always. Verse 19, and for me. Now notice, verse 18 ends with supplication for all saints and for me. Is Paul a saint? Yes, he is. And for me. This is a special prayer. You have the prayer for all saints and then and for me. This is Paul speaking as minister. A special prayer in behalf of the pastors of the Lord's churches in light of this warfare. Because they have a target on their back. Everybody does, but even more so. So, praying always for them. See, I don't believe most of God's people have any clue concerning the warfare that we're in. This is a serious warfare. Am I going to be a better warrior being bitter and angry at a brother or sister in Christ or humbly begging God on their behalf? Which is going to make me a better warrior? Well, you know the answer. But we get caught up in all the pettiness. This is a warfare.
There's not time for pettiness. There's no time for it. There's no sense in it. That is one of the wiles of Satan. We're to be praying always. And for me. And he mentions some specifics. That utterance may be given unto me. He says, pray always that God would give me the message to preach. And for me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Which tells me, if Paul's requesting this prayer, that utterance may be given to me, that means that there must be a struggle to get the message that God has. So he's requesting prayer. There's also the temptation not to declare it boldly. So Paul says, and for me, that I may open my mouth boldly. And then he makes a third request, that God would enable him to preach clearly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. That is, that God would enable me to preach the message clearly. And again, all of this is in light of this simple fact. We are in a warfare. It's not a warfare against flesh and blood. It is a warfare against the host of evil and the multitude of error. And there is the urgent need of praying always. We need to be a praying people. We need to be true prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. Because the battle cannot be fought without this act. Praying always. Always praying. We've said this many times. Somebody comes to your mind, pray. Just look at that as the Holy Spirit telling you to pray for them. You say, well, I don't know what's going on in life. I don't know what to pray for. You don't need to know what's going on. Just pray for them. Lord, you know what's going on in their life. Help them. Praying always for one another. And as a church, oh, how we ought to pray earnestly, begging God on the behalf of each other. Not getting caught up in all the pettiness. Everybody getting their feelings hurt. You know, a big part, it's sad, but it's true. A big part of the warfare is babysitting. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. That should not be any part of the warfare. But people are so spiritually immature. You have to babysit them. You have to soothe them every now and then. This is a war. There's not time for any of that nonsense. Praying always. Praying always. That God would help us to be more a praying people. Pray that God would give us things to pray about. If you don't have anything to pray about, then ask God to give you something to pray about. Really, all you need to do is ask God to open your eyes. Because if you think for a moment that you don't have anything to pray about, you're walking around with your eyes closed. Praying always. So all that we would be true prayer warriors. That's a good warrior. That's a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.